on Buckets of Books.
We decided to pick another theme this time, and one that is a bit more skewed toward me, because we were going to talk about magazines or journals, and I, you know, studied magazine journalism, so so I'm curious, first of all, Alice, like, what kind of magazines you read? Like, what, are you an in-depth reader? Are you a waiting room reader? Start us off with your relationship to the medium.
My relationship is very limited because I think it's different because social media has sort of become a magazine for my, I don't know, the kids that I'm growing up with. I think it's like sort of become an equivalent almost, where that's where I have the little, like, the quick news sources or the very, like, hot topics or anything like that. And, like, definitely magazines, like, if it's lying around and I am somewhere, I'll read it, but I have never, like, with the purpose gone and searched for a magazine.
Do you read any, like, online zines that are a magazine but in a different format, or any, you know, legacy print magazines follow their online presence at all?
I don't think I do, which is, like, kind of crazy because it's, like, my parents have, like, this whole stack of magazines in the living room, and it's, like, they're there, and I have access to them, but it's, like, I just don't, I don't know, I don't, like, I think it's also, like, magazines is, like, could be a bajillion things, and so it's sort of, like, I don't know, like, I'm sure there are many, many magazines that I would be interested in, but it's, like, how do I find those magazines, and, like, what even are those magazines, and, like, where do they exist?
Man, that is such a bummer. So, the thing I love about magazines, one of them, is it's such a good, a print magazine is such a concise, finite product, you know? It has a beginning, an end, a middle. It has a typical format. You know, you, normally you're starting with your little PC items, the front of book things, just little quick hit items. The meat, the features are usually in the middle, and in the back you might have something regular like a profile, a by the numbers thing, and they're just so much fun to put together, and I really hate that, you know, we're losing it so much, and that your generation, you know, doesn't have that familiarity or that special context that I grew up having, because it's so much fun. But also, magazine journalism is something different from what you might find in a lot of places in a newspaper or an online-only medium. Like, typically, when you say magazine journalism, you think of these really long 3,000 or 5,000 word stories that really give, like, a lot of context or a profile, you know, like a celebrity profile on many magazines. And it's really like an art, in my opinion, one of the greatest arts. And so, you know, what kind of media do you and your friends look at just that's, like, fun like that? That's, you know, just for your own enjoyment. Like, how, what's your kind of, like, online or social media equivalent of that, do you think?
I think, like, I don't know, like, my school, the more you talk about this, the more I'm like, oh, I have this and this. But my school has a art and literary magazine. We also have, like, a newspaper, and that has been, like, and they're usually, like, out on a table somewhere available, and so that's, like, and I was working on those for a couple years, and so those have been, like, the magazine media I've been creating. But the more you say it, I recently, like, a couple weeks ago, I was waiting somewhere, and the New Yorker was, like, flipped open to one of those, one of the, like, individual story pages where it's like half creative writing and also half just like someone telling a story, and I was like skimming through it, and it was so good, and I was like very surprised, because to me magazines had always felt like a very like adult kind of thing where it's like I'm sitting and reading the newspaper, I'm sitting and reading a magazine, and so it hasn't been like, oh, I want to go flip through a magazine for fun. But then this one story was about like this girl's dad, and it was just like so beautiful and, like, very, like, so accessible to read, which is interesting. But then, I don't know, I think it's, like, interesting how different it is, just because, like, I don't know any of my there's one of the classes at my school, the senior class, that where you have to read the New Yorker every single day, like the front page every morning. And like, so a lot of my friends are in that class and they'll be like talking about what the front page was that day. But it's not, I don't know, it's just different. Like, I don't really, I know people who will read the physical newspaper, but like, I feel like for us, magazines have really like, not that they're not used anymore, but that if, when we are reading them, it's all online, which is different.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, you know, I somebody got me for a gift, or I got free somehow a subscription. I had like Teen Vogue, and I had 17 for a while, and it was so like aspirational, and it would, you know, you had your quizzes, you had your little like, you know, I think they regularly did something where they would ask people like their most embarrassing moments, you know, and it was just so like fun to get in the mail every month. And also, like, as back when getting mail was still fun, it felt like something tailored just to me and my friends. But now, you know, that those magazines are, even though they're called 17, they're geared more toward like 14, 15 year olds. So now you're getting older, and you like really are reading literature, and so it would make sense to me that something in the New Yorker might gravitate toward you more, which is another amazing magazine. And you think about like New Yorker cover art, you know, there would be no context for that if things were just online and it hadn't originally been born in print, and you have these images that are so New York and so different and so like of the time that they're of, that, you know, I worry that we would be losing things like that, that are specific to, you know, a print product that you are supposed to enjoy in one brief moment in time.
I feel like that idea of like losing it comes up a lot. Like, I don't know, are we gonna lose like the medium of print? But I feel like, I don't know, like in class the other day, we all had to find a cartoon in a magazine and like write about it. And it's like that sort of stuff where it's like, I used to like every week when the New Yorker would come, like I would flip through to find the cartoons like everywhere. And then like, I would read the little chunks in between. But I don't know. I think that like, there's something about magazines that lasts a lot longer just because of like, they are, when they're made, they are made to be enjoyed. Whereas rather than just being like straight up facts, they're like made for an audience, which is interesting. And so it's like that, I don't know, I think that will stick for a lot, for a while.
Yeah. I currently work for a daily newspaper, which does have a print product still. And I have a completely different relationship with that than I do with a print magazine. Because at the Baltimore Sun, at the end of the day, we pick like the most important stories from that day and put it all in print. And, you know, we have a designer and everything, but it's different. It's more formulated. Like, we use a lot of templates, and that product in the morning is really important to a lot of people. But that's not how I get my straight up news. You know, like you said, things that are hard facts. A magazine is more like, we think about sidebars more, and like, I worked a lot more closely with my designer throughout the day and like really brainstormed, and you know, use of color and graphics and things like that, that you're always thinking about the reader. Like, how many ways can we engage a reader on this page and like bring their attention from this photo to this main text to this caption to this sidebar? Like, it all has a relationship. And you're right, it does have a longer shelf life, and is so curated that I hope that you're right and that it will continue to last, even though it's definitely diminishing than it once was.
I think that's interesting about like catering, the podcast can see, but quote-unquote catering to like the readers, just because I don't know, I think a lot of the time like literature, whatever that means, is like for, is not for an audience, or if it is, it like has a very different feel to it. And so I like that it's like, it's really capturing that one moment in time in like a very clear and like highly curated way.
It's true, yeah. With news, we do think about the reader, but oftentimes we're just so driven by the news of the day and what we have mm-hmm. to cover and what is important through our lens. But in a magazine, I do feel like we think more about the reader more and making it an experience. And I think of our magazine readers sometimes as people who, like, put the magazine in their purse and take it on the plane or on the beach or, mm-hmm. you know, just something for enjoyment. Like, some people read magazines when they're sick or bored, and, you know, it's just, like, more for pleasure, even though you can get, there are news magazines that do a great job, and you get important things from that, but it's still, there's something more indulgent about a magazine than just your straight-up news.
Yeah, I agree, and I like that. I think it makes it, like, easier, not easier, just, like, a more, I don't know, easier is not the right word, but easier to access and just, like, more accessible in general, just to, like, read something for the sake of reading it because you want to read it, where it's, like, the news can be hard sometimes, and even though I totally support reading the news as much as possible, it's, like, a magazine is such a good way into that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like one thing about, you know, younger readers or younger consumers of content is, like, video is so much more emphasized. And I feel like there's more of a push to, like, make news videos or explainer things, and so much of the content that we consume on social media is in video form, and, like, data-wise, we can tell that people tend to respond to that more, especially younger people. So how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel like just print on a page gets kind of boring because of the way it's presented? Like, so much of things coming from TikTok and other sources like that.
I think that's interesting because, like, it makes sense, but I'd never really heard that, like, specific data point. I think it's, like, it just, that's, videos have been more and more and more and more, like, just becoming, like, the quote-unquote norm, just because that's what's been offered to us, or that's what's now being like, oh, young people like this, here's more of it. And so it's, like, video is just, like, I don't know, like, in class, if we're watching, or if we're learning, like, here's a source that we're going to read, or here's some context that we're going to learn about, that usually the first thing we do would be watch a video and be like, okay, here's the background, now let's go read the articles that we're going to read, which hadn't really occurred to me as, like, something interesting, but, like, that's just, it feels more normal to me to watch a video, I think, just because I have more videos around me. But, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm also biased because so clearly I love reading and I love, it's like, true. The act of writing, I mean, and reading, but I don't know, I think there's a magazine, like, feels different than just, like, here is a piece of paper that you are given with a story on it, because it's, like, a magazine is there for you to, like, you know, like, it's pretty, and, like, that's part of it, too, which is nice.
Yeah, the text is really only one component. Another question I have for you as a resident teen is, you know, another hallmark of magazines are, like, service journalism, like how-tos or here's what you need to know about this. So, you know, where do you get that kind of content? Like, if you're looking for how to, like, do something different, like, beauty-wise, or how to, like, you know, what to, if you're going on vacation and you want to know, like, what to know about a certain place, like, where do you think you get that kind of content?
I feel like such a teenager, but, like, honestly, TikTok or Instagram, yeah. Like, I think, I don't know, my friends and I will joke about how, like, if we're searching up, like, how to make this Halloween costume, like, it's, I'm gonna look on TikTok first because I know someone there will have done it already, and, like, I will see the proof of this, and I will see a little video, and, like, okay, here's the step-by-step of how you're making this Halloween costume. I remember, like, being, like, obsessed with Pinterest when I was younger, and I still really like it, but I feel like this has been, like, TikTok is, like, a step further than that, and, like, a step further just in the sense where it's, like, it's Google, but everything is there and at your disposal, and it's, like, I don't know, if I'm looking up, like, truly looking up a fact or something that I really want to know, I will go and search it up, but, like, on Safari or wherever, but I don't know, the, like, the simple how-tos really are TikTok.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I just said, you know, a magazine is very curated to a specific audience, but nothing is more curated than the algorithm, you know, yeah. to like really Creepy. Give what you want to be looking for. About literary journals? Do you ever look at those or have much familiarity?
Last year, actually, for my birthday, one of my friends got me a subscription to the Poetry Foundation's, like, monthly, it's not quite a journal because it's, like, I don't know, newsletter / journal where I would get a monthly, like, little packet of poems in the mail.
It's a good gift.
And it was, and I, like, found myself not reading them as much as I wanted to just because, like, I didn't have the time, or because when I'm, like, in the mood for poetry, I want to read, like, a poet who I'm interested in, but, like, the couple of times I did flip through them, I really enjoyed it, just because it's, like, so much of poetry, and so many people all at once, so it's not just, like, me reading a poetry book, which can sometimes feel very intimidating, but, like, it's little snapshots of poetry every month.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm not really that familiar either. I feel like I've only ever looked through them for, like, creative writing or English mm-hmm. projects.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though, like, I would like to be published in one, but they're a bit foreign to me. But I was thinking, like, it would be a good idea to try to go to a used bookstore or online, maybe, and just get, like, one from a bunch of different ones. Because I'm also interested in, a lot of times they're, you know, you can submit writing or art, and how the relationship between the art they select and the text and how they go together.
That's interesting. The library near my house, I've seen, like you said, like, the used ones that have the art and the writing, but I hadn't really ever thought about, like, how do you pick a theme and how do you decide what gets in? And, like, when I was working on my school's art and writing magazine last year, I was like, so much of the process was just, like, voting on, do we like this art and do we like this writing? But, like, we are just, like, a high school magazine, and so it wasn't really, like, here's our theme and we have all these submissions to choose from. I was like, how can we present what we're given with, like, the collection of our peers' work, you know, which is a very different experience. That's interesting, like, how they work together.
Did you get a very large group of submissions? I'm curious, because you go to, like, an artsy school.
Considering how artsy my school is, no, I think we probably got, like, 20, honestly, like, it's, like, a pretty big magazine, it's, like, maybe, like, 80 pages, but I think it's a lot of art, and then maybe, like, 40 writing pieces, which is, like, a lot, but it's not, like, a crazy overwhelming amount.
How did you like working on that?
I didn't love it. I think I started online and it was like I didn't really like any of my clubs when they were online, which made sense. And then the first, like, entire first half of the year would really be about the submissions process and, like, just picking what we wanted, which wasn't as much of the, like, editorial stuff as I wanted to be doing. And then once the editorial stuff would start in the spring semester, I would, like, really enjoy it. But then spring semester would be like, oh, and now the musical's starting, and now we have finals week. And so it would always get, like, spiraled up, and I would have to, like, prioritize other things. So it's like I didn't get to spend as much time on it as I wanted to, and I didn't have, like, the most perfect experience with it. But, like, I, like, it's so cool to come out of a club and have, like, this magazine that you've created. Like, that's so interesting.
Yeah, it always felt good, even as an adult working in magazines, to, like, get the final product and, you know, it arrives and you would look at each page so many times, you know, like, constantly at it, because you're working on it for 3 months for a monthly issue, and so you're reading the photo credits, you're, like, zooming in and looking at every detail a million times, but still it feels really good to get the boxes of them cut open and, like, feel mm-hmm. it in your hands. And
yeah,
I think that there's no media is really like that in the same way.
I agree. I like it. I like how dedicated it is to, like, what it's doing and, like, what is inside it.
Well, I hope that I didn't bore you with magazines.
No.
But I love it and I miss them.
Definitely not boring. And I feel very inspired to go out and read a magazine now.
You should.
All right. We'll be back next week on Buckets of Books.